I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, when the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy! Ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!"
Once again, we say welcome aboard. It's good to be with you at this time. Brother Munn speaking. Our program here called The Mariner's Call, an opportunity to be with you by means of radio. We have a little program on this station or on some of the stations that air The Mariner's Call here during the week. We call it a fisherman's 5-minute look at the book. But here we have about 13, 14 minutes. A time to be able to take and have some extra time with you and maybe slow down just a little bit. And at this time, we're going to talk about what to do with sin. You said what, Brother Munn? What to do with sin? Some people say this, they don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. And I'll try my best to do so in a gentleman manner. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 will be our verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This verse probably pops up. You probably recognize it, do you not, if you love your Bible? It's kind of like John 3:16. 1 John 1:9. It's kind of like 1 John 5:13. It's kind of like Romans 10:13. Romans 6:23, Romans 3:23, verses we use to show people, amen, the gospel story. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If ever we can help you, we have it's easy to access us. If you have access to a computer and you have the keyboard here, maybe you have a friend that has a computer. If you can just, on the keyboard, just push down an F, O, and an M, and an M, F-O-M-M dot a little dot, a little period, and an O-R-G. That'll get you directly to us here at Fishers of Men Ministry International, the mission arm of the Fisherman Baptist Church right here in the port of Bon Secours, Alabama. And we have a beautiful port. And in fact, if you're ever close to us where we are, come visit us. It'll give you an address there. You can check us out. If we can help you, you be sure to write to us. By the way, the announcer at the end of the program gives you an address whereby you can write to us. We think about the slow way of doing it. And I love mail. I love getting those letters. I love these ladies that come into the office from time to time and dump on my desk those letters. It's good to hear from you. The book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. What do you do with sin? It's just so obvious. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, I tell you, we live in an unusual age. We live in an age where you're not even supposed to use this word anymore. You know, it's not popular to say sin, you know? In fact, we think about those of great minds and people, different areas that deal with men. And we think about trying to discuss such a word. They would say, instead of using the word sin, use the word error, or fault, or mistake, or failure. The word sin just kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Nowadays, people that are guilty of so-called horrible sins, they say that basically what's wrong with these people, they have a disease. They are emotionally crippled. We think about those involved in drugs and alcohol and killers and thieves and sex perverts, you know. They said these people are emotionally crippled, you know. They have a disease. Why do you prosecute these people? You don't prosecute someone who has cancer. Now, I'm saying that's what the world says. You don't prosecute if a fellow has cancer. You don't prosecute him. He has the disease of cancer. Here's this killer, you know. He has this disease. He might even have the Y chromosome, making him a killer. Why do you prosecute him, my friend? And yet, you know, we understand the world. Why the world would look at it that way? Because the world is under satanic influence. The god of this world is the devil. I must come to the authority, the Bible. And the Bible talks about what is right and what is wrong. In fact, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. What's that say? Anything that is not right is wrong. And if it's wrong, it's sin. The world says, shh, don't use that word, you know. Use the word error, fault, mistake, failure, you know. But yet the word is here in the Bible, and we're compelled to use it. Now, I want to do so in a gentleman manner. God didn't raise me up to be some kind of critic, you know. If it were not for the grace of God, I'd be a horrible sinner right now myself. In the midst of the grossest of sins as far as this world is concerned, that's where I would be. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And there was a time where my attention was focused to the direction of Calvary, and I understood that Jesus died for me and he died for my sins. And the difference between me and somebody that's lost, not necessarily morality. It has to do with sins forgiven. What do we do with sin if we confess our sins? Let's talk a few minutes, staying within its context. Let's back up one verse, verse 8, and let me show you a problem. Verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, I've met people that way. He said, Brother Mon, I don't do wrong. Brother Mon, I'm not that bad. Brother Mon, I'm not an old sinner. Oh, you're not. A bold profession, if we say we have no sin, well, you're sure not going to do verse 9 if we confess our sins. If your profession is that you have no sin, my friend, you're in trouble. Evidently, the Spirit of God knows for us, in preserving for us this passage of Scripture, there would be people who would plead their innocence. And there are those. I didn't do that. I haven't done that. I don't ever do that. I'm not guilty of that. I'm not a sinner. See, they plead their innocence. You know what that sounds like? Or somebody else did it. Somebody else calls me to do it. Sounds like Genesis chapter 3. Go all the way back to the beginning. What have you done, Adam? The woman which thou gavest me. What did you do, Eve? The devil. What about you, devil? It's a wonder the devil didn't blame it on God. We don't take responsibility for ourselves. The worst kind of sin is no consciousness of sin at all. You're never going to have forgiveness unless you confess, my friend. You confess your sins. If we say we have no sin, that's a bold profession. What does it do for us then? It says we deceive ourselves. A self-deceiver. It's one thing to have somebody to fool you, my friend, but to fool yourself? What a condition to be in. Many think they're just not that bad. A warden said this one time, those that are over many, many prisoners, prison systems. This warden said, the hardest job is to convince men that they have done wrong. And women alike, by the way. We think about verse 8 again. If we say we have no sin, it's a bold profession. We deceive ourselves. That's a self-deceiver. And it said this, the truth is not in us. That's a false position. The truth is not in us. No truth can dwell within when there is pride and self-righteousness. When we plead our innocence, we make God a liar. Like in verse 10, you know, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hence, I understand Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. You're away from the truth. There's no truth in you. So what do you do with sin? We don't make a false profession. And my friend, if we do so, we're deceived and we're in a false position. What are we supposed to do if we confess our sins? A necessary confession. Notice what it said. If we confess each other's sins. Amen? That's easy to do because I look out my eyes and I see other people. It's easy to see other people's sin. But it says if we confess our sin. Once again, a little boy in a Sunday school class, the teacher, after talking about sin, he said, now, and he pointed to a little fellow, and he said, we always pick on Johnny, you know, always called him Johnny. I hope Johnny's not listening now, but we'll pick on Johnny. He said, Johnny, now you confess and you tell us some of the sins you're guilty of. And the little boy said, I'm not guilty of any sin, but I know some people who in this room are. It's easy to see it in the life of other people. If we confess our sins, to confess, to acknowledge, to own up to it, to avow, to declare. Sometimes we're forced into the situation where we have to confess, but our heart's not in it. It's kind of like Pharaoh. Remember when he confessed in Exodus chapter 9? But he didn't mean it at all. He went right back on his word. Billy Sunday one time was having a meeting. Oh, it was a good meeting. And there was a woman that came forward under conviction. And she said, Mr. Sunday, she said, I have a sin problem. He said, well, you get down here, you confess these sins to God. And she kind of scratched her head and she said, I don't know what they are. And he said, well, ma'am, just get down and guess at them. And you know what? She got it right the first time. He said, what are you saying? We usually know. And if not, we say, God, please bring to my remembrance, you know. A necessary confession if we confess our sins. And then it says this, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's complete absolution. A necessary confession, our sins. Complete absolution, he is faithful and just to forgive. Forgiveness. God alone can forgive sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. To begin with, our sins is against God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, you know. My sins against God, so I must confess it to God, and God alone can forgive you. How dare you find a verse of scripture in the Bible that can show you any place, anywhere where a man can forgive you of your sins. No one can absolve you of your sin but Jesus Christ, and he does so through the Heavenly Father. Complete absolution there. As far as forgiveness, only from God. I like chapter 2, verse 1. Let me end with this. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. An important admonition for us is, as far as this sin question is concerned, he said if you confess, he'll forgive, and he'll cleanse you from unrighteousness. And then he says, don't sin. These things I've written to you, that you sin not. Just get out of that business, you know. We do not fear sin. We need to look at sin as the Son of God looked at it. We need to fear sin like we fear snake bite, you know. We need to fear sin like we, you know, like we'd fear an iceberg, you know, if we were to be traveling in a ship, understanding only 1/8 of that iceberg is sticking out of the water. The rest of it's out of sight, you know. We need to fear sin. And then he gives a gracious provision, though, just like verse 9. It says, and if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate with the Father, defense attorney, one who defends, one who takes and able to vindicate, an advocate with the Father. The devil comes in and says, this is a sinner. This is a sinner. God, this is a sinner. And I raised my hand and I said, sir, but I found safety in the blood, your honor. And I have. It says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I plead the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. What do you do with sin? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. I'm glad to be forgiven. Until next week, Fisher Munn saying goodbye.